to follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. This part of the show is brought to you by Odds Trader. Download the free OddsTrader.com app to compare betting odds from licensed sports books, access injury reports, in-game action, and much more at OddsTrader.com. You can catch the Lombardi Line weekdays from noon until 2 Eastern, weekends from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern right here on VSiN. As Michael Lombardi hosts that show, he joins us every single Monday at this time, three-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive. Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
I am great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. I want to begin with that Chargers-Chiefs finish yesterday. What did you think of rookie head coach Brandon Staley going for the touchdown and not trying to grind that clock all the way down to zeros before trying a field goal against the Chiefs when it was tied at 24 apiece? And then how worried are you about this defensive unit for KC?
I mean, I'm worried about the defensive unit for KC. But look, that Charger team offensively is as good as it gets. I mean, with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and even Jared Cook, I mean, they're really they're tough. And Herbert's sensational. But I would have been of the school to just position that thing so I could make the kick and then get the hell out of there. I'd never want to give Mahomes the chance to get the ball again. You know, I'd never want to be able to do that. And then they did exactly what Dan Campbell did. It's exactly what John Harbaugh did in Las Vegas, is they refused to kick the ball in bounds. I mean, the Chiefs get the ball with 32 seconds. They need a touchdown. You kick the ball in bounds. You squib kick that ball, and you make them have to field it. Now they're down to 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. That reduces a complete play. It's the same thing Dan Campbell does. He kicks the ball out of the end zone, you know, and now they have, and what happens? They get an extra play. So I would have kicked, you know, I would have not tried to score the touchdown, but he did, and he ended up being the winner, and it was the right call. It was against conventional wisdom, I'll say that.
You know, I'll tell you, this is such a great sport, and this is the unfortunate part. Last week, we're talking about the silly taunting penalties and how they're throwing so many flags this season. Well, now you go back, they missed the huge call in Baltimore, or excuse me, with the Ravens in Detroit, and then I'll tell you, the PI's out of control. There is no consistency to pass interference. In the Bears game, there wasn't even PI. It was a 50-yard penalty.
I mean, it happens. I mean, that game last night, I mean, you could say the Packers had a great, you know, but there's a couple calls that could go either way in that game that you're just like, what are we calling? And one helped the 49ers late in the game. That back judge in that game last night was horrible. But to blatantly miss, the delay of the game call. And if you go back and watch it on the TV, if you watch it on the rerun on the quick hits, I mean, it clearly, it hangs on zero for a long time.
Right.
That's just a blatant miss. I mean, somebody up in the booth should have come down on that. I mean, then they're 5 yards back and the kid doesn't even make the kick. You know, he doesn't even make the kick. And then, you know, he throws the ball out of bounds. He's in the pocket. There was really nobody. He threw it like, I've seen him call grounding on that before. I've seen him call grounding on that throw that Lamar had. You know, so there's so much inconsistencies in what they're calling. I can't get it straight.
Yep. Very difficult to try to comprehend the stuff as it's happening in real time. How bad do you think this Pittsburgh offense is?
I think one thing I've noticed, I mean, I think Matt Ryan looks old. I think Ben Roethlisberger looks old. You know, I think guys look old, and it's not good. And Ben looks old. And look, the bad combination is, you know, old and a bad line, or young and a bad line. The Jets are bad line. They're young, right? The Patriots offensive line is not playing very good, young quarterback. But when you have an old guy behind a bad line, you know, then that problem magnifies itself. Matt Ryan was fortunate to come away. I mean, Adoree Jackson drops the ball in the end zone or else that game's over.
Right.
But he was able to make a few plays. But he doesn't look anywhere near like the quarterback we saw 3 years ago. They're going to regret not taking a quarterback.
How about what happened in Chicago? I mean, again, Nagy, what are you running? This is ridiculous what happened in Chicago. It's one of the worst performances you're ever going to see from an offense.
Paulie, they had 6 first downs and only 2, and 2 were by penalty.
Huh.
They had 4 first downs for the game. They had 47 total yards in the game. And this is not, they didn't play the 0-2 Ravens or the 0-1 Ravens defense. I mean, this is just the Cleveland Browns. They couldn't block. They couldn't block anybody. You know, that Jason Peters, when you're signing Jason Peters back at 39 years old to be your starting left tackle, you put the white flag up. It's over. I mean, it's hard. And you know, this kid, this is why he doesn't want to play the rookie quarterback, because he can't help the rookie quarterback. He can't help him. He needs somebody to get completions. This whole thing is about completions. He'll walk around the Hallis Hall screaming, oh, we were 71% completions. You know, the average 5.4 yards per attempt. I mean, Andy Dalton can't do anything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I really don't know how the Lions-Bears game isn't a pick'em.
I agree.
I agree. Points in that game.
Yep.
Can you argue that Dan Campbell's actually maybe the better head coach than Matt Nagy?
I could argue there's a lot of them. Ocean City High School might have a better head coach than Matt Nagy here. I mean, Matt Nagy is, I mean, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have been able to get away with it. It's because the Bears are a like the Giants are a family run business, and they kind of have a sense of loyalty to their people. But I mean, you can't get, I mean, Matt Nagy is supposed to be an offensive guru. I defy you to tell me when his offense has really looked creative.
Yes. I got two more for you. What is going on with the Washington defense? They can't stop anything. And I'll tell you, as bad as the Bears are, this Jet offense is a tough watch, too.
Oh, look, Paulie, the Washington football team, everybody went all Dick and Vitale on them. Oh, they're the greatest, baby. They're unbelievable. You know, last year in Week 17, Jalen Hurts behind a makeshift team moved the ball up and down the field. I mean, if they don't take Hurts out of that game in Week 17, the Eagles are going to win the game, and Washington's not making the playoffs. They haven't been good. This is not just a miss. This hasn't been like, okay, this year they're not good. They weren't good last year. They just beat a bunch of bad quarterbacks, right? That's really what happens. Like, you take the Raiders. Okay, the Raiders are 3-0. All right, the opening game, Lamar Jackson turns the ball over. The second game, they play Big Ben. Not very good. Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start to beat good quarterbacks, that's when you're a good team. The Washington football team never beat good quarterbacks. And just because they have a bunch of first-round picks doesn't make them good. To me, it looks like they've had a lot of bad drafts. People talk about how great they are. This Chase Young, he's in Jadeveon Clowney territory. Everybody talks about him being the greatest pass rusher in football. He's always, always past the quarterback. And let me say this really clearly. There's no worse place to be in football than past the quarterback, because I have yet to see him turn and run in that direction. He doesn't go. Chase Young is always past the quarterback. He's always past him. He has one good rush a game, and we go all Dickie Vitale on him and say, oh, he's the greatest. And that lasts him for another 3 weeks. And you know, it's just really bad. And so, I can't really explain it. I don't understand it. You know, I don't understand why they have this label. They go into Buffalo. Buffalo's got a bad offensive line. That's the one Achilles heel of the Buffalo's team, is their offensive line. And to go in there and to not be able to at least put pressure or make the game competitive, That's a challenge.
Let's follow the money. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Lombardi is our guest. You live in the Philly area, Jersey, so close to the city, obviously. You're 7-1 with your picks and bets so far this year. Who do you like in tonight's Monday night matchup?
I really like Philly tonight. I think Philly, when you break them down, this defensive line for Philly is very good. Hargrave, Jadeveon Hargrave, the kid they picked up from Pittsburgh 2 years ago, has been a really dominant force inside, and so is Fletcher Cox. And I think if you examine the Cowboys, I mean, they are very good offensively with their skill players, but they've got to be able to be able to contain this pass rush of Philadelphia, and it can be a problem. And they're not going to be able to run the ball on Philly. Philly's good against the run. I think Philly will move the ball on a bad Dallas defense. I don't think Dallas is very good defensively. I think it's the Achilles heel. Their numbers are not very good. The Cowboys could easily be 0-2. I mean, they easily could be 0-2. The Chargers last week, 2 weeks ago, they were so bad in the red area against Dallas. They turned the ball over. Receiver slips and falls. I mean, the Cowboys, to me, I think this is a field goal game. And if I'm going to get 3.5, I'll take the 3.5.
What do you expect Sunday night with Tom going back to New England against Belichick?
Well, I mean, the way the Patriots are playing right now, their offensive line, they need Trent Brown at right tackle. They're not very good up front. They've been pushed around by all three opponents. I mean, the Miami Dolphins beat them up front. The Jets beat them up even though they won. And then yesterday, the Saints just took it right to them. I mean, it's hard to play effectively as a football team if you can't protect. And they have not done a good job with their offensive line. They need Trent Brown back. I think that's the most disappointing thing for me. I thought the strength of their team would be the offensive line. It looked like that this summer. It hasn't helped itself. So until they get that fixed, I mean, look, here's the problem for the Patriots. They can't score enough points to keep up with Brady. I mean, Brady is going to put 28 on them. There's no doubt. I mean, that would be a low-scoring game if he only got 28.
Sure.
I don't know how the Patriots score 28.
Okay. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Lombardi, our guest, former NFL executive and VSiN host. One more is a Philly guy. Your thoughts, Ben Simmons, of not coming back, I'll never play again for the Sixers. Get me out of here.
Oh, he's such a baby. I mean, are you kidding me? Seriously. I mean, here's what people forget. Allen Iverson was traded. He was traded to the Detroit Pistons for a bunch of players. And the only reason he didn't go to Detroit is because Matt Geiger had an escalator clause on a trade in his contract that he rejected. And so Iverson is forced to come back to Philly. Humiliated. He comes back and has an MVP season. He basically tells Larry Brown, you wanted to trade me, jerk? Here's what you got. Okay, I'm the best player in the league. This guy, Simmons, he just doesn't want to. Don't send anybody out to talk to me. I want to take all my marbles and go home. Seriously, if you're Daryl Morey, and he's going to speak to the media today at 2 o'clock here in Philadelphia time, do you really want this guy on your team? Do you want this non-competitor around any player that you have? I mean, really, and I've been a defender of Simmons for a while, but this guy, to me, is everything you don't want on your basketball team or on your football team. He's a non-competitor. When it goes tough, he goes home. He retreats. Do you want anybody that retreats? No. I'd get rid of him, and I don't care what they get back for him, because by losing him, you can at least build a culture around winning.
Spot on. Catch the Lombardi Line weekdays, noon to 2 Eastern. Weekends, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, right here on VSiN. Michael, great stuff. Love talking to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Great job.
There you go. And by the way, how many teams in the NBA actually look at this and say, we got to have him now on our team?
They blew it. They had great offers. And now I'm not playing there again. Yeah. Now, how's the trade value? Michael's right. Can you work on your shot? Will you shoot the ball, please? Will you take a three in a game?
No, he won't. The answer is no.
Can you work on your free throws?
We'll look at opening point spreads and totals for week 4 of the NFL coming up next. One matchup open to pick 'em. I don't get it. I'll explain that coming up. Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, let's get into the opening numbers for week 4 in the NFL here, Paulie. Thursday night, I'm actually kind of excited to see this game. The Bengals taking on Jacksonville. Now, the look-ahead number last week was Cincinnati 6.5. So underneath that key number of 7, it's no longer available. This is why you like to talk about this stuff, you know, in advance. Try to bet it if you can.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's now 7.5 in this game against the Jags.
Well, it's pathetic. They've lost 18 in a row, and they've allowed at least 24 points in those games as well. Every one of them. This defense is so bad.
This will be a very popular teaser pick this week.
Uh-huh.
Bengals down to 1.5 points.
Yep. And a big win for the Bengals on the road. But this Jacksonville defense, coupled with Lawrence turning it over left and right.
Bad rookie quarterback play. And a really bad coach in Urban Meyer at this NFL level.
Misleading scores. Blown out by Denver. They scored a garbage touchdown. They had one nice drive. You take out that 109-yard return.
Sure.
And they were routed in that game, too.
Yep.
And there was also a huge OPI call. Again, there's no consistency. It's a clown show with this officiating. But the OPI call on Hopkins was big. But we could do 10 minutes on how bad the PI is. But that was a misleading score, too. Arizona took them out. No problem. Yeah.
So Washington opened up pick 'em at Atlanta. Atlanta's now favored by a point. I'm going to run. I have no opinion on this game whatsoever.
Atlanta had no business winning that game yesterday, though, either.
I would agree with that.
The Giants should have won the game. And Michael pointed out there should have been an interception in the end zone. It's over for Matt Ryan. It's over. And if you're going to take a tight end with a top 5 pick, throw the ball. Use him. This Smith hire was atrocious.
I hated the
He's
pick.
Atrocious. And also the pick of the head coach. Washington, 1-12 ATS, going back with 6-plus days of rest again.
Yeah.
One of the funkiest ATS stats you're
going to
see.
By the way, did you see that throw going back to last week? There was a throw on film breakdown of Matt Ryan against the Buccaneers where he had all day to throw the ball. He was backed up like close to his own end zone. And he had a chance to put he took like 2 or 3 steps into it. So he put his full body weight into the throw. And he had a streaking Calvin Ridley down the sideline who was wide open. He threw it like 45 yards that's how far he can get in the air. And he had to really had to stop and really got to come back for this ball now.
It's like pushing.
There was a stretch in the game, I think it was second half, where Pitts did not have a target yet.
Yep.
Chicago, like Michael Lombardi said, how is this not a pick'em?
I don't understand this at all.
They were 6 last week. It's down to 3.5.
Lions are fighting. Yeah. Tough one. Should have won the game. I don't get it. I don't care. Even if it's Dalton. But 60 yards, please.
I did not think I would say this 3 weeks ago. Who knows? Dan Campbell might be better than Matt Nagy.
Right, right. This is intriguing, this game here, too. Now, I think the Eagles get the money tonight. I think the Eagles are going to win the game. Could be wrong. But again, you're talking about a short week, and going back 8-9 years, Dallas has been a horrific home favorite. But Sundays, I think they're going to cover. Too many injuries with Carolina. You're not going to have Horn. You're not going to have McCaffrey.
Oh, the number moved, by the way. It's down to 4.
Down?
To 4 now.
I don't get that.
It was 5.5.
Yeah. I know what he said about the Dallas defense. It's better, though. You can't look what Brady did to the Rams. You can't say, well, we got lit up by Tom Brady. They did a good job against Herbert. Now, the red zone issues certainly were there, but it's been a pretty good job by
Quinn. I'd say the Chargers blew that game, and the referees were.
No, you're right. Yeah,
absurd too.
We'll learn more tonight and see what Hurts does.
But look ahead number ahead. The Titans 6.5 at the Jets are 7.5.
Yeah, here's another one. LaFleur. This Jets offensive coordinator, it's a disaster. What is it, 20 points on the season they have? 20 points in 3 games?
Well, shout out yesterday.
The whole scheme stinks.
Well, but also, like, you're very limited once your offensive line is this bad.
Well, that's true.
And you take on some injuries.
That's true.
And we'll get to the Packers thing here coming up in a second against Pittsburgh. The Steelers could be without a lot of guys this week.
Yep.
And that's why that number is currently off the board at some shops. So
I saw 7. That's not good.
Yeah, that was that I think is probably going to go up. This is the number I don't get. So you're telling me the Seahawks open up as the favorite. They took money. They were like, what, 2?
Yeah.
Yesterday against the Vikings. And I bet the Browns last night at pick 'em. How did the Browns open a pick 'em against the Vikings? I know the Vikings looked impressive yesterday, but there is no how the Seahawks have a better power rating than the Browns. The Browns are, to me, I would have the Browns a field goal on a neutral against Seattle. I think the Browns are much better than the Seahawks.
Good point.
And they opened up pick 'em. It's now 1.5. I don't know. Maybe that number goes to 3. Miami, they were 2.5 against Indy. It's now 1.5.
I don't get this line. I got to take the Colts. I remember, that was 14-0 Miami yesterday in a hurry. Carr threw the pick 6. Brissett hung in there and made some plays, but the Raiders' defense is atrocious.
I would tell you this, Paul.
That's a loser leaves town game, too.
For the Dolphins-Colts?
Yeah.
For the playoffs?
Losers out. Forget it.
I thought the Dolphins to actually be in that game yesterday was a borderline miracle. The Derek Carr pick 6. I don't know what that pass was.
Where is he throwing it?
I have no clue what that was. And then they went forward on 4th and short at like their own 30-yard line. So the Dolphins basically had 2 touchdowns gift wrapped to them early on in the game to take that 14-0 lead. The Saints, they were 6.5 against the Giants, now 8. Defense looked good yesterday.
Winston's not doing anything.
No, he didn't do anything.
He hit 100 yards again.
Yep.
This is cause for concern.
Look ahead number was KC 6.5 at Philly. It's 5.5. I will be on Chiefs teasers this week to get it down to a pick 'em.
You will.
Because I'm sure the number is going to go back to 6.
They cannot cover.
Cover, but I think I'm pretty confident. We'll see how this week plays out with injuries or whatever else. But I think the Chiefs are going to win that game.
It's your big boy.
Well, look at this point spread already.
Oh.
The Bills are 17.5 against Houston.
Oh my God,
17.5 against Culley.
Yeah,
who will gladly punt down 2 touchdowns in the first half when he has a 4th-and-1 at the 30-yard line.
Yeah, old school.
Old
school.
I don't believe in like look ahead spots or letdowns really in the NFL. They're pros. They make a lot of money. But if there's a letdown spot, could it be the Rams after what they did yesterday to the Buccaneers and the champs?
I don't think so, because it's a coaching mismatch. McVay owns Kingsbury, and McVay's been great against Arizona. Now Murray is Superman. Murray played well again at 300 yards, but against the weapons. See, Moore goes crazy against the Vikings. Moore does nothing yesterday, and it's Kirk and A.J. Green had a big game. I mean, there's so many weapons here with Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
If Murray doesn't turn it over and they protect him. But they put heat on Tom. They did a great job. I think Stafford will do whatever he wants against the Arizona defense. I don't think there's a letdown. I think McVay's too good.
It was 6.5. It is 6 right now. So this number's not on the board right now. The Niners, though, open up 3 against the Seahawks.
Big game. Ooh, tough.
Seahawks with a loss would be 1-3.
Yep.
Yeah, that defense is one of the worst units in football yet again this year.
It absolutely is. Late games are awesome. Late games are fantastic. The Ram game, the San Francisco game, and now we get to see now. All right, fine. You want? I'll play ball. You want to rip Denver because there's no Savannah States in the NFL. So you want to criticize Denver's schedule? It's not their fault. But now we get to find out about the Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater does it again. He's 38-14 ATS. They have no problem in shutting out the Jets. He played well again. So now they take on the Ravens. Good defense.
I think
it's criticize the opponents. I want to get it done, Teddy.
I think this is a spot for us to learn a lot about both teams. Right? The Ravens, you know, you want to play the coulda, woulda, shoulda game. Losing that, they could have beaten the Raiders on opening Monday night, right? They probably should have lost to the Chiefs last week, and they definitely should have lost the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I, quite frankly, I don't know what to make of the Ravens. And the Broncos, like you said, the Broncos are like the Panthers, right, with their opening schedule and who they played so far through 3 weeks. But they're getting the job done on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Look good doing it. The Packers were 7 against the Steelers. We'll see where that number reopens. The Sunday night game, Tom's return to New England. It was 5.5. I'm looking at Buccaneers now 6.5 this morning.
I would expect an angry Tampa team.
I think that I think that number goes to 7. I thought that before the results from yesterday. And the Monday night game is gigantic.
Huge game. Good game.
Chargers are 3-120 against the Raiders.
Well,
and again, what's the home field going to be like?
Absolutely. There you go.
There will be none.
Bingo. There'll probably be more Raider fans
at
that game. The other thing, how about this beat with Madison? No Cook. I saw several of these tickets on social media and a couple of listeners. They had Madison at 150-1 of the most rushing yards. He was 1 yard behind Henry, and they took him out late in the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they continued to hand the ball off, but it wasn't to him.
Yes.
Yeah, that
was Abdullah.
Stings.
I think it was Abdullah.
It was Abdullah who got the carries. And actually, I mean, Cook's status throughout the week was getting worse and worse. I can't believe a book was hanging 150-1 on Madison.
Good point. He had a big game.
When I saw those tickets coming in, I'm like, there's no chance that was available in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh. A couple other tweets. Chase Claypool tweeted, thanks to Mertz for throwing interceptions, the Notre Dame alt spread came in there.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Claypool tweeted that.
Are we okay with this now?
Is that something?
NFL players, professional athletes?
There it is.
I'm okay
Mertz
with it.
Mertz hammered it. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I appreciate it.
I know a lot of people
had
a huge problem with it.
Good. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, NFL players probably should not be talking about this publicly. I'm okay. I'm fine.
Okay. Well, of course
it's so mainstream right now, and they're going to be having deals with sportsbooks probably down the road anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, my takeaway is Browns again pick them. I bet that last night. That's the one game I bet so far. Now it's 1.5. I don't know how they'd open up pick them. No idea. If it gets to 3, I'll probably buy back a little bit or try to, you know, get the Vikings at 3 as well. Huge day for us on Follow the Money. Our debut in one of the best cities in America. Who wins a title in this city next?
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
What do you want from your sports book? Great odds, personalized promotions, same game parlays you can boost for even bigger payouts. How about a faster app with easier withdrawals and complete security? Sounds like you just don't want to bet. You want to live your bet life. And when you bet with PointsBet, you get great odds and bigger payouts, all in a fast and reliable book. Simply download the app now. Use the code VSEN2K. Get your first bet risk-free up to $2,000. VSiN 2K must be 21 gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Huge day for us here on Follow the Money.
Feeling good. VSiN.
Yeah, it's our debut in one of our favorite cities. How is it not? Los Angeles, welcome aboard. We talk about sports betting here on this program, 3 hours every single day. And I've been to California a couple times already this year, like to get out, you know, three-day weekends, that kind of a thing. Drive up and down the coast.
Done that.
I did that in July.
Sunset Strip. You know, by the way, too, Genie Bus, we love you. How about tickets? Second row. You don't have to go front row, but it's a bucket list to go to a Laker game and have great seats. Second row, if you could make that work, Genie, would love it.
We're not asking for like Lakers Bucks, Lakers Clippers.
Any game.
Yeah.
Any Laker game.
Yeah.
Bucket list item.
Like Lakers Pelicans. Cool.
I'll take it.
To watch Zion up close and personal. That's got to be kind of a dead ticket, right?
Go see LeBron. Right.
All right, so how about this? LA-based teams to win a title next. Pretty much any sport here. Odds courtesy of Bet Rivers.
Oh, this is good.
This is really good. Okay, so the Dodgers, of course, the shortest shot on the entire board in Major League Baseball. Also the shortest shot on this entire list of teams in LA. Dodgers are plus 320. Put $100 down, you win 320 and your money back if the Dodgers win the World Series.
Nope, no good. I don't like the odds. But
no, it doesn't matter, but here's the thing.
Right. Yes.
Here's the thing. I would actually say the Dodgers because it's the next team up.
I would go Lakers. So the Dodgers, number one, have to go 4-2 to go over their win total. The Dodgers were 103.5. So that's number one. But here's what they're up against. You're going to get the wild card, likely. You're going to to 16 wins in a row for the Cardinals. You're going to see probably Wainwright. That's going to be tough. And then you're going to face the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be – then might get the Brewers. Not going to happen.
See,
it's not going to happen for the Dodgers.
If it was April right now and not borderline October, I would say the Lakers. Because Lakers, the playoffs will be starting in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we go, right around the corner. I got to go the Dodgers because they're the best team still in baseball. And I know it's not going to be easy to get there, but
I'm concerned about Bueller. But the other thing with the Lakers, remember, do the Lakers win the title? It's a big if. But do the Lakers win the title if they had Davis healthy? They led the Suns 2-1. They took him out no problem in game three, and then Davis got hurt.
Put it this way. Do the Suns win that series if Davis doesn't get hurt?
No.
I say no way,
no they don't.
And then it's a totally different animal in the Western Conference.
Right. Maybe the Clippers beat him, but Kawhi got hurt.
No, I'm not so sure. Yeah.
I think if Davis stays healthy, it would have been a repeat for the Lakers.
So Lakers are plus 375. I love seeing UCLA this short at 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when UCLA basketball is good. The Rams were actually 12-1. They're down to 8-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Huge win, right.
Great performance. Beat the champs. Look sexy doing so.
Stafford doesn't have a playoff win, but that's...
It was a nice win. I want to see, again, Tampa Bay with a full allotment of players here and healthier than what they were yesterday on defense. Chargers 20-1?
No.
I can't get there.
No.
Clippers, I can't get there. The Kawhi injury.
Hope the Chargers can make the playoffs.
25-1, and then you go on down the list. I mean.
Oh, nice win last week, but I'll tell you, that tough loss at home to Fresno. UCLA has a tough schedule coming up, but that Fresno loss, love to have that one back for Chip Kelly.
How about if we put UCLA to win the Pac-12 on there rather than a national championship?
Better.
Yes. Would you go that way then instead? Yeah. No Dodgers.
I mean, UCLA's
tough road.
They're going to have to run the table to get in the playoff, and that's not happening.
Yeah. And look at USC.
I don't know if that'll do it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Look at USC football at 500-1.
What a disgrace.
Yeah.
So what a disgrace.
I would go Dodgers again. Not an easy path whatsoever. This is going to be something, though, with this team. They could go over their win total and lose out on winning that division.
Right.
That must have been, you know what, when Johnny Avello joins us on Wednesday from DraftKings, we'll have to have him make a number on that.
This is one of the best jobs in sports. USC cannot screw this up. They cannot screw this up.
Well, let me ask you. Give me the big names that you think would have a lot of interest right now that would make some sense. To me, it's Lincoln Riley. I think you go like this with all your chips. Here you go. You put them all in the middle of the table and say, Lincoln, what's it going to take? We're not taking no for an answer. Oklahoma again.
Yeah, you do the same thing with Matt Rhule. I agree with Reese Davis.
That's totally fine by me.
Your
Matt
USC,
Rhule's awesome.
Make these guys say no.
Yes.
How much you want?
Don't settle. Do not settle for anybody with this football job. I mean, people have been calling it the best gig in America. I don't know if it's still the best, but it's cyclical in college football. It can be still. With the NILs, by the way, in Los Angeles, why can't it be? All these kids could have, $100,000 deals coming out of the wazoo.
Absolutely.
To go play football there.
Oh, huge deals. The star quarterback at USC?
No doubt.
You know what it was with Leinart and Bush? What that scene was
like? You can get back to those days.
Yes, you can.
As long as you bring in the right guy at the job, and he'll get... I don't know who it is, but look at the way Riley recruits to Norman, Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler was the best quarterback in the country, and again, these five-star kids get overrated sometimes.
Well,
Graham Mertz is the perfect example, but Rattler... He's not even close to the same guy that Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray was. And now the whole fan base is like, okay, he's five stars, best player. We don't want him starting anymore. We got to bring in the new five-star kid.
Didn't Kingsbury have a couple? Didn't they hire Kingsbury to be the OC and then somehow, some way, Arizona? Because, we'll hire him, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He could have been able to replace Helton. He's perfect. He's Mr. Hollywood. That's a bad beat, all that turned out.
As long as, and this
the guy
happen,
was
right?
under 500 at Texas Tech. Yeah. They whack him. He's going to be the OC at USC, and then the Cardinals, we'll go with the guy.
Like, that style of offense would definitely work. He would be able to recruit. You just have to bring in, like, a stellar defensive guy because that was the one major downfall at his time in college. So what do you think tonight, then? Are you with Michael Lombardi,
who joined us
30 minutes ago?
Hey, the picks have been great. Michael's 7-1 with Adam Chernoff. What's Adam Chernoff? I wrote it down. He's 27-9 on the season.
Oh,
he's on tomorrow.
It.
Well, yeah, because Dallas has been a terrible home favorite going back here, but issues for Philly. I know everything went haywire last year, but 1-6 ATS, last 7 on the road. They're only giving up 11 points per game on defense, so it appears The defense is the real deal. It was a good job last week. They blew that game against the 49ers. They left so many points on the board. They almost had the 99-yard touchdown pass, and then they couldn't cash in there. They had all the issues in the first half. Michael's right. The Dallas defense, bend but don't break. The Chargers had all their issues in the red zone. We continue to say Pollard's a better option with the running back. He had 100 yards rushing. And the Ewok doesn't have it anymore with Zeke. But they're allowing 24 points per game on defense. Parsons has been great. I take a look at the dog, though. I don't trust the Cowboys in this spot, but it's a big game in it. Because I like Dallas next week, though, against Carolina, because you're not going to have McCaffrey and Horns hurt. So
I would say this too, Paul. You have to have multiple outs, right? Have as many sports books as possible. I would not be taking Philadelphia 3. Because you had a chance at 4 or 3.5 for almost the entire week, and now I'm looking at some books where it's 3. I mean, if you want to, you can't chase like that. You can't, if you miss the bad number, or I'm sorry, if you miss the best number, now you can't take a bad number and take the 3. How about this notion?
Good for Monday Night Football. Now, I guess it doesn't matter because everyone loves the Eli Payton thing, but this game's a good game, and the Chargers-Raiders next week is enormous.
Huge. So how about the idea that what we saw last week with the Cowboys could be more of what we see this year than what we saw in week one, meaning where the game plan is going to be, you know, with the offensive line, Pollard looks awesome.
That was more of the Chargers. They were inviting him to run the ball. It was there. So I don't know what,
but I also
I don't
think,
know what Philly's game plan is going to be, but the Chargers were begging him to run.
Don't you think Dallas would realize that and say that I think there's a chance where they recognize the defense actually might be really bad again this year? Last week could have been an aberration. They're like, okay, we can't go on these 4-play drives that last a minute and give the ball back because our defense stinks. We got to grind it out with Elliott and Pollard on offense and have those guys run the football.
It'll
a little
be
bit
better.
More.
It can't be any worse than it was under Nolan. I think give Quinn time, he'll figure it out. Although the injuries and suspensions don't help. Ton of great props as always at Bet Rivers. I like longest touchdown under 42.5 yards. Overtime's 15-1. Safety's 8-1. Scoreless quarter plus 450. Hurts first touchdown plus 850. Again, we've seen an incredible run here the last 2 years in primetime games on quarterbacks to score first. Dak is, what's Dak? 12-1, I think? Something like that. I like Zeke combined yards under 84.5, rushing and receiving. Hurts leads them in rushing. 51.5.
Yeah. Again, earlier in the week, he was in the 40s.
Okay.
And it's, you know, key to grab those.
Dak,
it's frustrating here in Las Vegas because books do not put up props until like Saturday.
I know, it's bad. Yep. more touchdown passes, Dak 180, and more yards, Dak minus 220, 22 to win 10. Lamb is 81.5 receiving yards, over under 2.
I did bet the Carolina Dallas game next week under 50.5 because if we get that, what I just talked about two minutes ago,
I see that.
Where it's slower pace tonight, game is slower, and it's 51.5 if it stays under that number. I think that'll be a good number to have next week. It's something to watch tonight in terms of the overall pace and how quickly they're running plays, or slow, I should say, and if they're going to run it a little bit more. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have some huge games in college football this week. The Bama-Ole Miss point spread in total went back and forth all morning yesterday, and I was really hoping they'd open as a road dog. Is it a surprise they didn't? Details and all that coming up next.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. Bet Rivers has you covered for the entire NFL season. They're offering same-game parlays in all pro football matchups, and they're bringing back their Reduce the Juice promotion on game days. And this NFL season, they have a $1 million Beat the Spread Challenge with thousands of dollars given away each and every single week. Pro football betting is more rewarding at BetRivers. Download the app or go to BetRivers.com to bet. The offer is valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. It's also available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. And you must be 21. So, Paulie, I was down here yesterday at, downtown Las Vegas, at Circa and at the D. And I was at 11 o'clock when Matt Metcalf, the sportsbook director here at Circa, drops the college football opening numbers. I was tracking stuff, and I made one bet anyway yesterday. I'll tell you about coming up in a second, and how these numbers were ping-ponging around yesterday. So Friday night, big game in the Big Ten. Iowa struggled a little bit on Saturday with Colorado State put them away and won 24-14. They play at Maryland. I saw the opener at 3. It went to 4 eventually on Iowa, and now it's settled back in at 3.5 the way it looks. Huge game. Both teams are 4-0, and I said this earlier. I hope I'm dead wrong about this. I took a flyer on Iowa at 200-1 a couple of weeks back when they were beating Iowa State to win the national title. I mean, look, it appears as if college football is wide open with the exception of 2 teams in the SEC this year. But I think they lose maybe 3 times in the regular season. I think they can lose Friday night at Maryland. I think they can lose next week to Penn State. I think Wisconsin stinks, but I also think Iowa can go there and lose. And I think they can lose at Nebraska.
Oh, wow.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, and they're 12-0, and they go to the Big Ten title game. I don't see it happening.
Very good defense, very good running game. This is a game Maryland doesn't win. And
the luck factor is going to run out on Iowa at some point.
I guess the win over West Virginia looks better now, but barely getting by Illinois. I can't get there with Maryland. And I love this Iowa team. Now,
love them.
Love them.
I also
think this Arkansas story is fantastic.
It really is.
And what Pittman's doing. I mean, remember how bad they were under Bielema, and they finally beat A&M. I think they'd lost 10 in a row to A&M, and they took them out no problem. But now you step up. I mean, it's again, the SEC title game might be an exhibition where it's Georgia and Alabama head and shoulders above everybody. But now we'll see if they can hang here with Georgia. And I like the under in this game. But good Arkansas defense. But this is we know it's Alabama and Georgia and everyone else. But it could even be, you know what I'm saying? It could even be, what am I trying to say? Head and shoulders. If Alabama's impressive and Georgia's impressive Saturday, then we really have a problem. And they're just light years ahead of these other programs in terms of the gap between 1-2 and then everyone else. Because if Alabama takes out Ole Miss, no problem. And more on that game coming up with the number. Even though they were struggled with in the Florida game. But if Georgia can dismantle and take out Arkansas, well, then what's going to happen? Because you can't really point to a loss on the rest of the schedule with Georgia after this game.
They're laying 19 in the game.
It's that high? My God.
It's that high.
Right. I like the under. But I think if Arkansas can't keep it close, then you know they're going to run the table until they get to the SEC title game. Right. Same thing here. And I love this Ole Miss team. And enough people aren't, because we did plenty of this on the with the poll question, who's the third best team in the country? Why not Ole Miss? The Louisville win looks better.
It could be Ole Miss or Arkansas.
Right, right. So I think Metcalf put out a bad number, at least at what everyone thought about. It opened 20. And just came down because he said it was nonstop limit bets on Ole Miss. Nonstop. All Ole Miss money.
Incredible. 10 limit bets on Ole Miss. So that actually, I saw 17.5 and 77.5 on the opener. I bet over 77.5.
Okay.
It shot up to 80. And that's when Ole Miss got to catching 20 points as well. And then all morning long, it was working its way back down, including the total coming back down to 77.5. Mm-hmm. So it worked its way back down from 20 to 18.5, I believe, saw 17.5, saw 16.5, saw as low as 14, and now this morning, Alabama's laying 14.5 in the game against Ole Miss. I still think I might bet over 77.5 again. That breakdown that we had from professional sports bettor Paul Stone last week was incredible. About the history here, what is it? Alabama's averaging like 59 points a game in this series?
Yeah, they combined for over 100 last year, right?
I see a ton of big plays, not a lot of stops in that game, so it's a great recipe. Is to go up and down the field like that.
And the Heisman winner is flipped now. Corral's the favorite to win the Heisman.
Did you see that at Bet Rivers? They made Georgia plus 150 as the co-favorite with Alabama to win the national title.
Sure.
I don't know about this one. Michigan at Wisconsin. The Badgers are favored by a point. Total's 43.5. Not so sure. Should the Badgers be favored in this game?
No. No, not with that quarterback play.
Okay. And here's your other big boy.
Monster game.
And I wanted to see if, you know, what he was going to make Notre Dame. I was going to bet Cincinnati. I didn't know what he was going to make it. If he made Notre Dame 3, I was going to bet Cincinnati. Well, he didn't. In fact, Metcalf made Cincinnati a 2-point favorite, and the total was 50, and that number was stagnant, and it stayed there for hours before it finally. I saw it tick up for like a minute to Cincinnati minus 3 in the game, and now it came back down. When I looked last at the app this morning, Cincinnati was favored by 2.5.
Enormous game.
Notre Dame's not running the football on this defense.
If there's ever a chance for the little guy to crash the party, it's here. I live and breathe, so I still think they could take a power team that only has one loss and get in there. But there's a lot of things that have to go right for Cincinnati. Number one, they have to win every game. Number two, they need Indiana to win games and not fall on their face and lose five or six games. And then if they win this game, Notre Dame has to go out and continue to win because you have the loss of the quarterback with Gabriel at UCF. There's nothing left on Cincinnati's schedule. Mm-hmm. If Cincinnati wins this game, they're going to run the table. But how good is Notre Dame? Struggle with Florida State. Lucky to beat Toledo. Mertz kept throwing interceptions. But the other thing is, and here it is again, Notre Dame is playing good teams, but they're all off byes. Cincinnati's off the bye. Wisconsin was off the bye. Virginia Tech, USC, North Carolina. That's who it is, one after another, and a lot of these teams are off byes.
So I watched that entire game, Notre Dame and Wisconsin. How fortunate were they to actually just win the game? I think that was one of the most misleading scores we're going to get in college football this entire year. Wisconsin takes the lead. They kicked off. Notre Dame houses it. Like, if they don't do it's a normal, typical, you know, kickoff return to, like, let's say the 24-yard line, Notre Dame could do nothing on offense. They were not going to, I don't think they were going to score again. I think Wisconsin was going to win the game. And then they get the kickoff return, and then after that, Mertz turned into, you know, Matt Schaub from 5 years ago, however long ago it was.
Yes.
The pick six were just coming left and right like this. Oh, there's another INT to the house. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. Another discussion we need to look at is, what are we going to do with an undefeated BYU? You wanted to rip them last year because of COVID. Oh, you didn't play anybody it was because of the pandemic. What are you going to do this year? I mean, if they run the table, they go to Baylor, they would have five wins over the Pac-12, they beat Arizona State.
I'm going to tell you what they're going to do.
They play Boise coming up?
Yeah.
That would be quite the conundrum for the committee if we have an undefeated BYU who could be favored in every game.
It will not be a conundrum for the committee because they'll give them no chance to get in.
Oh, they're top 15 right now.
No, never say never. They have no chance to get into the playoffs.
No, I disagree.
Okay. All right. I hope they go undefeated then and they're number 8 in their poll. The committee will not, they will scoff at BYU.
Well, you might run out of options, though. I mean, that
they will take
you would have to look at BYU over Cincinnati. Because BYU, I think, would have a more impressive resume when you look at it.
They'll find one or two lost teams from other conferences to sneak in. Cincinnati could look great this coming weekend. They can beat Notre Dame by two touchdowns. I don't think Cincinnati's going to get into the playoff.
They're going to run out of options, though. That could be.
Well, define that. What do you mean by that?
You could have so many two lost teams. Look at how it's wide open. Clemson out. Ohio State could lose again. Oregon is not going to run the table. How many losses does Ole Miss take? They're probably going to lose Saturday. Penn State, how many times are they going to lose? You're not going to have a lot of teams to do. That 3-4 is going to be murky once we get to November.
I think they'll have plenty of options with one or maybe even two losses to have ahead of Cincinnati or BYU. It happens every year. I live and breathe. I can't imagine the committee will ever make a path for Cincinnati to get in or BYU.
Well, we've never been this high before this early. That's the thing they have going for them.
What do you think of Oklahoma today?
No, not impressed at all. Not impressed.
You're telling me they're the third best team in the country?
No.
Fourth best team in the country?
No. Well, look at Oregon. They're taking on a bad Arizona team, and that's close in the second half at home. So, and if you're telling me Penn State in this discussion, please. I had to listen for 2 years about this A&M team. 2 years, and you saw it. Phony. SEC garbage with this Texas A&M.
Well, but hold on a second here. I know you like to piss on this conference every year.
Sure.
You need to stop doing that.
Why?
Give me another good conference, Paul. Name one good conference right now, not name the SEC. You can't do it. There's not another good conference in college football. Don't even try to make a case because it's laughable if you do.
Well.
And by the way, the best four teams in college football right now might be from the SEC. The two at the top, Arkansas and Ole Miss, might be the best four teams in the conference. Could very well be the case.
Well, no, I'm not going to go that far, but that's... Certainly, A&M was not a top 10 team.
That's fine. Arkansas might be. Ole Miss certainly looks like they might be.
Oh, very impressive win against Texas. I'll give you that.
Up next, Kenny White, longtime sports bettor, going to join the program. His most misleading box scores of the weekend. And what does he make of this Ole Miss-Bama total of 77.5? We'll find out from Kenny coming up next.